If you will please turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 21. I want to read some verses beginning at verse 9. 21st chapter of the book of Genesis, commencing to read at the 9th verse. The Lord is here tonight. He reads every thought. He sees every heart. And he knows every need. And there may be someone now in the house of God who's got a need. It would be a physical need, spiritual need. Or there may be someone here tonight who's not in the right place with the Lord. And the Lord in his providence has brought you to this place tonight, that you may be challenged through his word, that you may get right with God. Maybe there's someone in this building right now who's not right with God. Up in the gallery, on the ground floor, the all-seeing eye of God is upon you now. He's searching your heart, and you'll never be happy until Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Don't forget that. So with that thought in our minds, we'll turn to read the word. And tonight I want to preach on the message, God opened her eyes. And may we all have an eye-opening experience tonight in the house of God, saint or sinner alike. May it be an eye-opening experience. Well, let's read these verses together, beginning at verse 9 down to the end of verse 21. Let us now hear the reading of God's word. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of a son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman. And all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed, and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down, over against him a good way off, as it were a bowshot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him, and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven, and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? You can put your name in there right now. What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. He knows where you are right now. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew, and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer. And they dwelt in the wilderness of Paran. And his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. And we know that God will add a blessing to this very familiar portion of his own precious and infallible word. Now, with the scriptures open before us, we'll take just a moment to bow again for prayer. Father, we do thank thee for this wonderful portion before us. We do pray that thou wilt even guide the preacher in all that he has to say, and give unto the congregation that hearing ear and that understanding heart, so that at the end of this day, thy great name will be magnified and glorified, and that thy kingdom will be extended for the glory of God. We ask these things in the Saviour's worthy and precious name. Amen. You'll find my text there in verse 19. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. Now in this passage before us, Hagar is a picture of multitudes in the world today. She is a woman who's crushed in spirit. She's lost in a barren wilderness where she is now ready to perish. But at the last moment, a merciful God appears on the scene. He's at hand to bring deliverance to this needy woman and to bring to her the relief that she was looking for at this particular point of time. And this emphasizes again the grace of our God. How good is our God, and how gracious is our God. And I think that the lesson is very clear from this story, that God is gracious and merciful to all who call upon him because of his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I can see gospel truth in this incident before us. I can see Christ and his wonderful way of salvation here in these few verses that we've read together. And that's what I want to try to get at tonight. I want to try to get at the gospel that is here in this wonderful story tucked away here in the 21st chapter of the book of Genesis. Now, just by way of introduction, and I don't want to elaborate upon this, we can think for a moment or two about Hagar's wandering. She wandered in the wilderness, according to verse 14. We also have a thought about Hagar's water. Well, what about her water? Well, it was spent in the bottle. It ran out. And then we have Hagar's weeping mentioned there in verse 16. She wept. So here we find a woman who's crushed, a woman who's heartbroken, a woman who's placing her son at a distance. She didn't want to see him die, a lad of 12 or 13 or 14 years of age. She didn't want to see him dying, so she puts him away under a shrub. She has no hope. He has no hope. They're ready to die. But then God in grace intervened and changed the whole situation in a moment of time when God opened her eyes. Oh, to have an eye-opening experience tonight in the house of God. I trust and pray that will be your experience if as yet you know not Christ. I have three simple things that I want to highlight from the story before us. Three very simple things. First of all, what Hagar saw. Well, what did she see? Well, the Bible tells us she saw a well of water. And she saw this well of water, and it was situated in a wilderness. And according to what we have read here, she was wandering in the wilderness. That simply means she was wandering in a barren place. This is typical of a lost soul. This world is a wilderness. It's a barren place. It may tickle your fancy for a while, but it cannot really bring true satisfaction. She was wandering in a wilderness. Some people spend a lifetime wandering in the wilderness. The children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, going round and round in circles, never getting to the place God wanted them to get to. And maybe there's men and women here, you've been wandering for years, year after year, never getting to the place the Lord wants you to get to. A place called Calvary, where a cross was erected about 2,000 years ago, where his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, died an atoning death to purchase salvation for lost, needy sinners. Remember, there was a time in the life of Joseph when his father sent him to look for his brothers who had been away for some time. And the Bible tells us that a man found Joseph wandering in the field. He was lost. And the man gave him directions. He says, you'll find your brethren in Dothan. And here in the gospel meeting, night after night, the preacher stood in this pulpit and he's addressed you as wandering, needy souls. He's given you direction. He's pointed you to the cross and to Calvary. But yet another Sunday night comes and you're here again. We're thankful to see you. God bless you for coming. But as far as you're concerned, you have not taken that good advice. You have never made your way to the cross of Christ. And tonight, if you were to die in this congregation, this very building, you go straight to a lost eternity. God forbid. God forbid. Now, the name Hagar actually means wandering. She was a wanderer. Now, what was she doing in the wilderness? Well, we want to just mention in passing two or three things about her at this particular point of time. Why was she wandering in the wilderness? Well, she was an outcast because Sarah came to her husband Abraham and said, listen, cast out this bondwoman in verse 10. She was the bondwoman who came from Egypt, and Egypt represents the world. So here we find this woman. She's been cast out. She's a bondwoman. She's cast out from the presence of her master. The second thing I notice here, she was shut out from the master's house and presence. Abraham sent her away, verse 14. Why did they send her away? Because Ishmael had mocked Isaac, the son of Sarah and Abraham, the seed of promise, the child of promise. They had waited for a long time for this child to come. Abraham then decided to take things into his own hands. And Sarah gave Hagar unto Abraham to know in an intimate way. He went in unto her. A child was born, a troublemaker from the time of his birth. And there's still troubles in the world today because of the birth of Ishmael, because of Abraham's sin. God never told him to go down into Egypt. God called him to the land of Canaan. He left in obedience. And then he came to Haran, the halfway house. And then it was only after his father died that he moved on and he made his way into the land of Canaan and he came. But then the Bible says he went on down into Egypt. That was disobedience. And when he went down into Egypt, he got into sin. He lied and deceived the king. And then when he came out of Egypt, he brought with him Hagar. Your sin will catch up with you. And sure enough, the child was born, and the child is found mocking Abraham's son Isaac. He's put out because he mocked the son of promise. The Lord Jesus Christ is the son of promise. Isaac was the gift of God to Abraham and Sarah. A supernatural birth it was, not a virgin birth, a supernatural birth. Because Abraham and his wife were too old to have children, and so it was a miracle in that sense of the word. It was a miraculous birth, the son of promise. We can apply that to Christ, who's the son of promise. Only he was virgin born without sin. And men and women the world over mock God's dear son. Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the house of Jairus, he found the professional mourners there mourning over the passing of that nobleman's daughter. What did Jesus do? He put them out because they mocked him. And there is a place for mockers outside the kingdom of God. And the Bible describes it as a place of outer darkness. Those who mock the gospel and God's dear son will be put out. Out into a lost eternity. So we see this woman, she was an outcast. She was shut out from the master's house in the presence of her master. Do you see that? Are you getting the picture? Here we have gospel truth in this simple story before us tonight in the Holy Scripture. And the first thing we notice here is she was helpless and hopeless. What did she say when she placed her son? Now, can you imagine this? Can you imagine taking your 12-year-old son, 13-year-old son, who's about ready to die, putting him under a shrub, moving some distance away so as not to see your boy die Can you imagine the heartbreak, the hopelessness, the helplessness of that particular situation? She sees nothing but the grim face of death before her. Let me not see the death of the child. This is a painful picture. It's a sad picture. The one without strength, one who's hopeless and helpless in a wilderness, perishing because of lack of water. Sin always separates. Sin separates a man from the Father and from the Father's house and the kingdom of God and righteousness and truth. It always separates. It always leads from the house of God to the wilderness. You think about the prodigal. He left the Father's house. And if we take the Father to represent in some measure our Heavenly Father, that young boy turned away from his Father. He ended up in the far country, in misery. He lost everything but his soul, in a sense. But there was a welcome in the Father's house when he returned. The best robe, the best calf, the ring in his finger, shoes in his feet, a transformation wrought by grace. He had to shave himself, get off the old filthy garments, and he was reinstated as the son in the family because of grace. Here we have gospel truth for outcasts. Those who are hopeless and helpless in this world, there's mercy with God. There's grace to be found at the cross. The lad was separated from one who loved him. Do you see that? There's gospel truth there. Men by their sin have been separated from a God of love, a God of mercy, and he was facing death all alone. You see, he's separated from his mother. He's under the shrub. And mankind is separated from God. And they'll have to face death alone. And if you are still unconverted, that's something that ought to make you shudder. That's something that ought to make you tremble in your shoes tonight. To stand before God, to meet him as judge, to face death alone. The young boy, he turned his back on his rebellious mother. She pleaded with him on many occasions to trust in Christ. He didn't listen. He got into drink and so on, and he moved away. And then it was diagnosed that he had an incurable disease. He came home to his mother to die. And his mother pleaded with him on those closing days of his life to trust in Christ. This is what he said to his mother, that godly woman, bring me a glass of brandy or I'll curse you with my last breath. Oh, that broke her heart. That devastated her soul, her righteous soul. Bring me a glass of brandy or I'll curse you with my last breath. That's the way he died. A few days later, he began to tremble, and this is what he cried. Oh, my God, I am lost. Oh, my God, I am lost. And the shriek in his voice. My God, I'm lost. Oh, to come to the sinner's fate. To come to the sinner's grave, to come to the sinner's eternity. I am lost. Lost to eternity, lost forever, damned forever, but there's mercy with God. There's a Savior. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's willing to save all who come unto him by faith. This is my Savior. This is my beloved. And this is my friend. Oh, may you know him tonight as your friend. And your beloved. It was just then that she saw a well of water. When she was sitting there perishing of thirst, while a well of salvation was close by. She couldn't even see the well that was close by, according to verse 16. Do you see that? There was a well there and she didn't even see it. And spiritually, many are found in this state. Perishing for lack of knowledge, while the word of God, in a sense, is lying next to them. Lying at their side. Even ringing in their ears. How many times have you heard the gospel? Maybe from a mother's knee or a father's knee. How many times have you heard the gospel preached by various men in this congregation, in this house? And the gospel has been so near. And yet, you haven't had the perception to know that the Lord was coming through every message to call you to himself. Before she could see it, her eyes had to be opened. And that's the problem with the sinner. The devil had blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest they should believe and be converted and saved. The devil's a liar. And he's telling you all will be well. He's telling, well, if you go to hell, well, you'll be there with your friends. Hell is a place of isolation. It's a place of eternal loneliness. A place of separation from God. And you'll perish alone. And you remain in the darkness unless God opens your eyes. Oh, she had this eye-opening experience. It's not enough that the well was there, you see. She had to have her eyes opened to behold the well. She saw the well, though it had been there all along, but she couldn't see it. May God open your eyes tonight. That's what Elijah prayed for. Elisha prayed for the young man. Open his eyes that he may see. Oh, that tonight the Lord would open your eyes that you might see that there is provision made through the death of Christ on Calvary's cross. So the scene of Hagar and Ishmael in the wilderness is rich with spiritual imagery. It reminds me of another woman in the New Testament this time, another desperate woman who was in a desperate plight spiritually. And she came one day to a well of water to draw at noontime from that particular well. This was literal water in the well. She came to Jacob's well in John chapter 4. This is the only place in the New Testament where a well of water is mentioned. And that well speaks to us of Christ. There's only one Christ. There's no one else like Christ. Just one well of water. And the water in the well is the salvation we have in him. And that's what the woman needed spiritually. She needed a drink literally, of course, physically. But that's what she needed spiritually. The water and the well of salvation we have in Christ. Have you experienced this? Have you come to the well? Did you drink of the fountain? She had a spiritual thirst that brought spiritual death. She saw the well of water. There's no doubt about that. But she didn't see the well of living water until Christ opened her eyes. The one who sat upon the well. And he was sitting there waiting for her to come. You see that? I think that's an amazing thought. He was sitting on the well waiting for this woman to come. He was all alone because the disciples were going into the village to get provisions. And he was sitting on the well. He was waiting for the woman at the well. He's been waiting for you for a lifetime. He's been calling to you through the gospel to come. She could not see until her eyes were opened. Now Hagar did bring water with her into the wilderness. She also brought some bread. So she had resources. Do you see that? But the bottle of water was soon wasted. And the bread that she brought to eat soon was consumed. It was not enough. The best things that you can bring, the best things that you can provide, they're not good enough. They're not sufficient. Because the work has been done. It all has been done on the cross. You can't add to it. It's been done on your behalf. The sacrifice has been made. The blood has been shed. The life has been given for you. For you to believe. For you to trust. For you to taste and see that God is good. Whatever we rely on, whatever sources we have, will fail. They'll not last. They'll not prevail. So what she had, the resources she had when she came into the wilderness, disappeared. And we must admit, I need help. I need something outside of myself. So what did she need? She needed grace. And that's what you need tonight, grace. The grace of God. We too lie next to the well and we cannot even see it. This well of salvation. We're dying of thirst when the well of living water is nigh unto us. And we will never see it unless our eyes are opened by the Spirit of God to behold the beauty of Jesus Christ. Everything required to save man's soul from sin has been done through the sacrifice of the Lamb on Calvary's cross, by the sacrifice of his blood, by the sacrifice of that holy spotless life. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Hallelujah! Are you saved tonight? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you a child of God? Are you really a child of God? Sometimes we wonder about people. People tell us all sorts of things, but they never come to the prayer meeting. Never even come to the house of God. It's a rare thing to get the people of God into the house of God these days. Well, you look around tonight and you realize I'm not making this up. You can see it. Why should this be the case? What's wrong with us? What's wrong with the Church of Jesus Christ? Maybe we need to have our eyes open to the reality of the situation we find earselves in. There's a dearth. We're living in the wilderness. The pressures of Satan upon the Church of God are so great. He uses means. He's crafty. He uses his devices to get the church to fall back, not to advance. Take it easy. And so on. That's his philosophy. Don't be too zealous. Be a Christian, but don't be too zealous. Don't get too much into the prayer times and all this kind of thing. The devil is a liar. We need our eyes open. What she saw. Second thing, what she showed. Well, what did she show? The Bible tells us in verse 19 she went and filled the bowl. So what did she show? She showed common sense. That's what she showed. Common sense. She was thirsty. She was perishing. Her eyes had been opened to this well of water that was nearby. And the common sense thing was to go to that water and to drink of that water found in the well. So she did the common sense thing. And you know, many times, child of God, the answer to the problem we find ourselves facing is to do the common sense thing. Sometimes the Lord makes his will made known to us in his word. And that is a most revealing thing. Other times when we're not just too sure what we should do, I think sometimes the best thing is just to do the common sense thing. That's what she did. She went to the well and she drew from the well and she drank from the well. She drank from that which was available to her freely. Her water was spent. She had no water left of herself. In other words, it was used up. She'd used up the water supply. The bottle was empty. Have you ever felt empty, child of God? Sometimes we feel empty as the garden tomb. We feel as dry as the brook Cherith. We feel as barren as the fig tree. We feel as powerless as Samson, as lifeless as Lazarus in the tomb, as blind Bartimaeus. Sometimes we as the people of God get like that. Now, I'll be perfectly honest. I know what I'm talking about. And you know fine well right now when the Holy Spirit is taking the point and he's writing it upon your heart and he's saying this is your experience maybe of late. You're not the person you once were. You're following afar off. The resources of an outcast are speedily exhausted. The prodigal's fortune was soon spent. He had friends when he had the money and had no friends when the money was gone. That's the way the world works, you know. And then when a sinner gets to an end of himself or herself, then they pray. The way the prodigal prayed. Have you ever been brought to an end of yourself? Has God ever put you in a corner and caused you to pray as you've never prayed before? Well, some of these days he may just do that. To get you to that place where you need to be, he may just put you into a corner and cause you to pray. God opened her eyes and she filled the bottle. She had to avail herself of what was there. What had been shown to her. And the word for bottle is an interesting word. It's only found four times in the original language. It really means a water skin. It wasn't a plastic bottle. It wasn't a glass bottle. The typical bottles that we identify with and have in our homes and in the stores and so on. Our word bottle originally means, carries the meaning of, the word here that it's used carries the meaning of a leather bottle. Usually in Bible times, the skins of goats or sheep were used and the animal had to die to provide this kind of thing. Let me just mention something right now. There's a type here. There's a picture here. There's gospel here. This was the method that was used to carry the life-giving water to the young lad who was lying there under the shrub. It was the very bottle that was used by Hagar to draw water from the well. Christ is the Lamb of God who had to die to bring salvation to sinners, to bring the life-giving water to lost, perishing souls. Just the way the lamb or the goat had to die before this leather bottle could be provided. Christ is here, the gospel's here, salvation through the blood, through the sacrifice of Christ is here in this simple illustration. Look for Christ in the Bible and you'll never be disappointed. Look for him in the Old Testament, and of course you'll see him everywhere in the New Testament. But sometimes I say we have a hymn book in the Free Presbyterian Church and we sing from the hymn book, but right now I'm preaching from another hymn book. That's H-Y-M-N. This book is all about H-I-M. It's a hymn book. It's all about Christ, you see. It's all about the sacrifice. All about the blood of the Lamb that was slain to redeem sinners. His precious blood. Atoning blood. Powerful blood. Hallelujah for the power of Jesus' blood. And God heard the voice of the lad in verse 17. And the term lad is found 6 times in these verses. You can find them for yourself. The focus here is on the cry of this lad. The word lad appears only once in the New Testament, as far as I can make out, in John chapter 6, where the focus is on the contribution of the lad. So we have a lad in the Old Testament, and it's the cry of the lad. And then the lad is mentioned again in the New Testament, in John 6. It's the contribution of the lad. One lad receives something. A drink from the well. The other lad gave something. He gave away his lunch to Jesus. And what's the point? When we receive the gift of God, it's our responsibility not to be our joy, to tell of Jesus the mighty to save, to tell of the one who redeemed us by his grace and washed us in his blood. Isn't that a good illustration? Hallelujah, it is. I believe it anyway. It's a great illustration. God heard the voice of the lad. There's a play here on the name Ishmael because Ishmael means God heard. It was this cry that brought a response from heaven. The angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven when God heard the cry of the lad under the shrub. God saw how the son had been treated. This is another interesting point. And how he had been rejected and cast out. And they intervene. Now you apply that to Jesus Christ. God saw how his son was treated. God saw how his son was rejected. God saw how his son became an outcast. And yet God heard the voice of his son on the cross when he cried, "It is finished." He heard the cry of his son and he responded favorably by being gracious unto sinners through what the Son accomplished there on the cross. The Son of God was heard. His work speaks to the Father. It's done. It's finished. It is complete. Did you see that? It's a wonderful illustration. This book is full of glorious illustrations of Jesus Christ, the dear Son of God. And when he speaks, the Father listens. Tonight, child of God, he's mentioning your name. And glory, isn't that an amazing thing? The people meeting here in Lurgan Free Presbyterian Church, there may not be a big lot of people know you're here tonight, but the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioning your name before the Father. He's praying, "God bless my child down there. With all their cares and all of their burdens and all the difficulties they have to face in life, the problems you will meet tomorrow, he knows all about these things. And just the time you'll need him, he'll draw near. This is my beloved. This is my friend." You'll need him this week. And when you do, you'll remember this message. And you'll remember the cry that he offered, the cry of the Son that was heard by the Father. It is done. It is finished. It is complete. Now, before this section ends, we see how Ishmael was given a wife by his mother. And you will notice where she went to seek for a bride for her son. And his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Egypt in the Bible is a type of the world. So here we see a wife has been provided for this son. And the wife is taken out of the land of Egypt. God gave to his son a people in eternity, a bride if you like, a wife. Where were those people taken out of? Taken out of the world. You see, God the Father looked down upon humanity as a fallen humanity. Before there ever was a man or woman on the earth, before there ever was an earth, God devised a plan in his mind to redeem a people. And he knew what would happen in the Garden of Eden. He knew that Adam and Eve would sin. So God looks down upon all humanity, a fallen humanity, and every individual of that humanity deserves to die and be lost. Because we're all guilty before God and Adam. By association with him and by actual sins, we're condemned to die. We deserve nothing. So if we get what we deserve, we'll get hell. But God, who's rich in grace, gave to his son, he selected out of that great masses of humanity, people who were ill-deserving, he chose them in Christ before the foundation of the world and gave them to Christ. But you may say, that's not fair. No, that's grace. That's grace. Because we've got to understand that each and every one of us deserves to go to hell. And had it not been for the grace of God and giving a people to Christ in eternity, not one of us would reach and enter through the pearly gates, as they say, and be in heaven. God has given to a son a wife, and Christ did all that was required of him to secure the redemption of every child given to him in eternity past. And they believe the gospel, they come willingly, they come freely, as the gospel is preached, and they trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. And then we're told here, in verse 16, Hagar mentioned the death of the child. She didn't want to see the death of her son. And then in verse 18, God told her to lift up the lad. So the lad who was at the point of death, if you like, was revived. This was like a resurrection from the dead. And this reminds us of the resurrection of another son, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the message that came to Hagar on this occasion was, fear not. What did the angel say to the shepherds? Fear not, for I bring unto you glad tidings, great joy. Fear not, fear not. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Fear not, believe in him. Trust in him. So God said to his son who had been rejected, who had been at the point of death, God said, I'm going to raise you up. And I will make him a great nation. That literally came to pass as far as Ishmael was concerned. But applied to the Lord Jesus Christ, God has promised to make him of him a great nation, a church, a great nation, a church. God heard the voice of the lad. What Hagar saw, a well of water in the wilderness. What she sought, and then what she showed. She showed common sense. And then finally, briefly, what she shared. Well, what did she share? She gave the lad to drink. She shared what she had drawn from the well. Do you see that? She took it herself, and then she took it to her son, and she shared with her son, I suppose we could say, the water of life. If the water speaks of Christ and salvation, then we could say that typically she shared the message of the gospel. God has opened your eyes, child of God, in order for you to share the gospel, to tell others what you've experienced, to tell them about your glorious Savior, about the one who had done all things well. Ishmael almost died. of thirst. The prodigal son almost died of hunger. But Hagar gave to her son a drink from the well. Now God did what only God could do in this whole story. He provided the well of salt water. He opened her eyes to see the well of water. He was with the lad. He saved the life of the lad. Do you see that? God alone could do these things. Hagar had to do what she alone could do. She filled a bottle with water and then she gave it to the lad to drink. And the boy, he did what only he could do, what he needed to do. He had to drink the water, you see. There's a balance here, a right balance. God is sovereign and man is responsible. She did what she could do and the lad had to do what he alone could do, drink of the fountainhead. A great salvation has been provided for sinners. The invitation is given in the gospel to come and taste and see that God is good. But you, sinner, need to come. You need to repent of your sins. You need to believe the gospel. You need to trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, with the help of the Holy Spirit. Once the eyes have been illuminated, once that power of the Spirit has been wrought in your life, you will come, and you'll come freely, and you'll come willingly, and you'll come urgently to get right with God and accepting the divine provision. She was saved, and then her son was saved. Now, what does the Bible say? Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thine house. Noah, is that right? Noah, is that right? Is this verse found in the New Testament? Is it correct? Yes, it is. I believed, and my wife and my three sons and their wives gathered in. Eight in the ark. That ark speaks of Christ. Eight is the number of a new beginning. You get a new beginning through faith in Jesus Christ, by trusting alone in him, by getting to the cross. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What did the Good Samaritan do? Now, we can't really say that the Good Samaritan is a type of Christ, but what he did, there's certainly typical teaching. He found a man wounded and bleeding on the Jericho road, and he used the wine to clean the wound and then the oil to soothe or to heal. What did the disciples do when the little boy gave the lunch that they had? A very small, insignificant thing. A few little cream crackers, if you like, and a couple little sardines. He gave that to the disciples and they shared what the Lord provided. There it is. That's what we need to be doing, sharing. Sharing the gospel. That's why this church is here, to share the gospel. And you need a preacher to be able to preach the gospel, to feed the sheep and the congregation. A man is needed, a man is required. Pray that God will send a man of God's choosing. The time came when Israel got disappointed and frustrated with the theocracy, God ruling from on high. And so they said, give us a king. The people's choice was Saul. God's choice was David. Keep that in mind. God's choice was David. God's choice of a man is the man who will lead this congregation to great things under God. Not Saul. God's choice was David. Please keep that in mind in the days to come. And when the church is right with God, it will become a sharing church, reaching out to the unconverted, seeking to bring the lost to Jesus. The prayer meetings will be filled with men and women on their knees before God. There will be a sharing of the good tidings of the gospel. In verse 18, we're told that she was to take the child up into her arms, hold him in thine hand. So the boy who had been raised up, now he's been held by someone who loved him. There's another glorious picture. We have been saved by the grace of God. We've been lifted out of the quagmire of sin. And now we are withheld by someone who loves us, the Lord Jesus Christ. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. and is unable to pluck them out of my hands. Child of God, undergirding you tonight are the everlasting arms of Christ, and he will never let you fail or fall. He'll keep you as the apple of his eye. Ishmael had been circumcised. He had been prayed for by Abraham, but that didn't change his heart. A person can be baptized and catechized and whatever else you want to do, and that will never change the heart. Only grace can change the heart. And the Bible tells us this young man grew. And when a man or woman has been saved by grace and resurrected by the power of the gospel, then they grow and they go on and they give evidence of growth. And then their branches will sprout out over the wilderness, just in the case of Joseph. Branches going out over the wall into the wilderness. This is gospel truth. This is enrichment through grace. This is fullness of the Holy Spirit. This is what we can expect when Christ is given his rightful place, when we're filled with the Holy Ghost and filled with power from on high. He became an archer. And one commentator said he became a wild man and a warrior. Abraham went down to Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord. But we never read of Ishmael doing that. We never read of him calling upon the name of the Lord. An unbeliever, a rebel against God. After all that God had done for him, he rebelled and he died an unbeliever. He died in his sin. And he perished in his sin. But there's mercy with God. What Hagar saw, what Hagar showed, and then what Hagar shared. She shared the great life-giving water that had been provided. And in a physical sense, her son left. And you can share all the blessings of the gospel here under the means of grace and yet die in your sin and perish and be lost. I appeal to you tonight in the Lord's name. Be ye reconciled to God. Come to the fountain tonight. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved. May God bless you. May God give you grace and open your eyes to the truth, if that has not already taken place. We'll close now in prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank thee for thy word to our hearts. And even now in the stillness and in the quietness, we pray that thou will continue to speak on. And do what only God can do. Open the eyes of those who need their eyes opened. And we pray, dear God, for those who are believers, that we will do all that we can to win the lost for Christ. And we pray, dear God, that for those who are thirsty, may tonight they come to the fountain and drink. And Jesus said they'll never thirst again. Separate us now with thy blessing. And in thy fear, for we ask these things. In Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen.